Good evening, everybody. Al, can you lead us in the pledge?
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Director Schneider is not here tonight. All of their board members are here. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll set that motion to approve it.
I second that.
All those in favor of the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the agenda motion carries. Public comments.
John Lanou, chairman of the Redwood Village Trail. Myself and our committee are here this evening. Just wanted to let everybody know that the Camp Fenner crew correctional facility was up here about 3 weeks ago. They brought up four two-ton trucks full of decomposed granite that they had stored, and with 16 of their crew, they distributed it over the trail to fill in the ruts and the potholes and what have you that we've had along there. So we really, really appreciated that. They also cleaned weeds all the way from Lone Pine Canyon to the fire station, and they said they'd be back to finish up the entire trail hopefully this month. So we really appreciate that. The Monica from the Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts, their group came a couple of Saturdays ago, started at the school cleaning up the trail also, and so everybody that works together, volunteers on the trail, those are things that really keep the trail up and going. Next month, the committee is going to bring forth another document, as we did a few months ago, requesting that the CSD pick up maintenance, the cost of the maintenance on the trail for perpetuity. So next month you can look forward to that. Any questions? Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John. I have a concern about item 15, which has to do with stadium lighting on the baseball field, which I actually didn't even know was happening until I saw that. And my concern is that they have very bright lighting. I live about a block away, and there's a lot of people that live even closer than I do. So I'd like to know if there was a time, a cutoff time for that lighting, like 8:15 or 8:30 or something, where people would know that we would not have light pollution from stadium lighting at that time, and if that could be something that could be addressed and put into the youth package or whatever, so that that continues on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? Sure. If you can comment on anything, sure.
Okay. Leslie Mahalko, resident. I had a question about the one.
Could you get to the mic because we're trying to record it? Sorry about that.
I have a question about the CSD working with the Chamber for Mountaineer Day. They were talking about pharmacy board shop providing awards and other items. Our participation will be to provide our skate park as an in-kind sponsorship. What does the in-kind sponsorship mean, and will that allow other groups? For instance, when I worked in Parks and Recreation, the county or another facility would say, if you put our name on your brochures and sponsor us, we will allow you to use the community center at no cost. So is that a possibility for other events in the future?
We'll move down to that item and answer it there.
Okay. And then there was something that I read earlier. The fee schedule that was approved, it only addresses residents for the fee schedule for the community center. Is there, when I looked at the county, General San Bernardino County fee structure today, there were three different tiers of usage fees. And I was wondering why we were only limited to residents, why you weren't including nonprofits, community groups, public reservations, rentals, things like that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay. Moving down to agency reports, any agencies here today? Don't see any. Okay. Item 6, consent calendar, May minutes and the May disbursements.
I got a couple questions on the disbursements.
Okay. Okay.
We had major outstanding accounts payable, all zeros. But again, you know, we have another month where we don't have the actuals versus the budget to look at. And we had talked to her the other day. I thought we were going to get those.
I got those late today.
Okay.
And I could put them in the packet.
Okay.
So available for next month.
Right.
So there are we saying that well, these May disbursements, are you talking about the May the actual disbursements?
Yeah, the disbursements going out there, the major outstanding accounts payable, I know we still got the election cost. I don't see that anywhere. You know, we're the budgets that we
well, see, I don't think that was a disbursement, though.
Well, but it is a payable that we owe, right?
But it's not a a disbursement is okay. What's been paid.
Okay.
That's all. Yeah, I mean, are you cool with everything that's been paid?
Yeah, I'm fine on what's being paid, except for one I just had a question on, which was check number 1194, $400 to Michelle for Verizon deposit. What is that?
Well, the phone that we inherited from the county was being billed through Frontier.
That's 3205? That's the phone number?
Yeah,
3205?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Okay, and it got turned off by the county because it's actually a Verizon phone, and the Frontier that we've been paying is an internet. Okay, how it all linked together, I'm not quite 100% sure, but that's how it was linked together.
Okay.
So we had to start our own Verizon account. And at that time, I didn't have enough money in my account. And Michelle stepped forward and she provided the $400 out of her.
Why was that $400?
That's the deposit.
That's a deposit
right.
To Frontier.
No,
to Verizon.
I'm sorry. To a deposit.
Right.
Okay.
Interesting.
So, and when do we get that back?
In a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have the same phone and all that stuff, right? We didn't get a new phone or anything.
Right, but we have an entirely new account. We being a new entity.
Yeah.
Don't have credit established or anything else.
Right.
That was a requirement to put a deposit.
Okay.
So we ended up having to put a deposit.
Okay.
The other one was check number 1207, the $7,100 for the liability insurance.
Uh-huh.
What is the time frame for that? What does that cover? Is that next year's from
next year's
June
months.
Through
12 months?
Whatever.
Yeah.
12
months?
Yeah, it's 12 months.
Okay.
July 1st through June 30th of next year.
Okay, so we paid it a month early then, right? Because the check is 531, and it's effective July.
I think it's
through June 30th, or
right.
Okay, well that's all I'm asking.
So I paid it when we had the statement in.
Okay.
Anything else?
Okay.
No, that's it.
Is that it? Okay.
That's it. The other one goes through the budget, I guess, area.
Right, right. Okay. And are we okay with the minutes?
Yeah.
Did somebody go over that? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a motion to accept the consent calendar.
I'll make the motion to accept the consent calendar.
Second.
All those in favor of the consent calendar motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion carries. Item 7, General Manager Report.
We had a lot of activities last month in May. I did my best to cover it in my written report. I want to add to the report that today I went to a LAFCO meeting in Victorville that dealt with wastewater, because LAFCO basically does a review every 5 years, and we were mentioning in the review, nothing negative or anything else, but we were just mentioning it. I attended to make sure that there wasn't anything that we mentioned at the meeting that I was aware of in the documents, because they have a draft study right now that they're reviewing. Other than that, do you have any questions about the report?
I think we had one from the audience, didn't we?
One from the audience in regards to Will. The skateboard.
Wait. Well, basically, I had a discussion with Beth from the chamber last week, setting up things for Mountaineer Days. He mentioned that he asked about the skateboard park, if it could be used for a skateboard event. And I said, well, yeah, we can use it for a skateboard event, and that, I think it'd be good for the CSD to show a presence in the community and sponsor that particular event, and kind of being that the use of the facility would be without fees or charges or anything else.
Hmm. Okay.
Does that include the insurance? We're covering the insurance for that event?
Well, there's insurance coverage by us regardless, and there's insurance covered by the chamber regardless.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question, just a quick question about the skate park. And I lost track of this, Al, I'm sorry, but I had sent Kevin up here to look at the cameras, and I didn't follow up on it, so I don't know what happened. Did he talk to you about it, or?
Yeah, the last time we talked, what was the same day.
Uh huh.
And he needed to get a boom truck.
Oh, there it is.
He didn't have access to it, and the ladder wasn't going to work.
Okay.
So that was the last discussion that I had.
Okay. Well, I will get that scheduled, okay? Because it seems like we could get the cameras going over there. And
that would be very helpful.
That would be helpful for the graffiti, right?
Yeah, we have a lot of graffiti that's going on in all of our park areas.
Really?
On picnic tables and in these outside restrooms.
Okay.
At the skate park, we're having some vandalism on of various sorts.
Mm-hmm.
So, having that camera working as well as the others,
yeah.
The others all
work. Okay. All right. I'll get that scheduled.
Okay. Appreciate that.
All right. Other thing I'd like to acknowledge is on the Adult Softball League, that they have come up with 12 teams. And I'd like to just acknowledge Natalie and Monica for what they've done. It's fabulous that you guys have come up with that amount. You should be congratulated.
Thank you.
Yeah, good job. Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who supported Monica and Al and Michelle as well for all the work that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
I'll speak more to it during director's comments. But
sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
I've got one. Al, so are we ready for the dump card program, ready to hit the mail? And I see
well,
that June 15th.
We're close.
You need some stuff from me, right?
Basically, we need to get that
Okay.
Taken care of, and yeah, within the next couple of weeks, we should get everything mailed out.
Now, in that letter that goes out, can we, and I haven't seen that yet, do we have the operational hours for our office in case there are some questions about their dump cards?
On that letter, no. I don't remember having the operational hours on there.
But we already do have a good mechanism in place, and that we got an email.
I really don't know.
Because
they might be on there. We did add the location of the transfer station in Phelan and their hours and that type of stuff. I'm not quite sure. Do you remember if we have?
Because the reason why I bring this up, I went to the dump 2 weeks ago, and the ladies were in there asking about, you know, dump card programs coming up. I said, yeah, we're ready to go. But I just wanted to find out, is there, you know, the hours of operation so the residents, because I know you guys do a great job. You come in, you walk out with the card. It's immediate. It's just the addresses gets all updated and everything. Did a lot of cleanup. But I just think we need to get more of that out there, because the more we get cleaned up, the better.
Absolutely.
Every year is going to be.
Absolutely.
Okay. I know what happened July last year when the new dump cards did go out. There was some challenges, but I think we're ahead of it now. So I just wanted to find out if we got hours of operations on a Facebook or a website, get it out on social media.
Michelle and I were just talking about posting our hours here, and we'll be putting it on the Facebook.
Good.
And when we have the website up and running, which will be shortly as well, we'll definitely have it on there.
Great.
We'll have it out there.
Thank you, Al.
No problem.
Hi, John.
On the dump card.
I'm sorry, you got to come to the mic and do the whole thing.
Short and sweet.
Okay.
On the dump cards, have we revised any of the criteria for us residents at the dump? In other words,
no.
Can we haul more than 500 pounds?
No.
Can we do it more than once a week? Any of that change at all?
No.
No.
Thank you.
Okay.
I had a question about the playground bridge. I know you guys did a lot of work on looking for those parts, and I'm wondering if in your research, if you happen to have seen like alternative bridges, maybe something a little newer that, you know, is less dangerous.
And actually, we did look at that.
Okay.
But nothing that would fit this unit.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious if there were other bridges that might have.
You'd have to replace the whole unit, I guess.
Okay.
We would end up having to replace that whole unit.
That sounds expensive.
Yeah.
$60,000 to $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
How much? Say that again.
$60,000 to $100,000
I think we'll keep what we got.
Okay. That's why we ordered.
I like what we got.
We ordered the chain.
Yeah.
You know, and
wow.
As I mentioned, we inspected the chains, and they have a coating on them, so we peeled back the coating. And of the 14 chains that are there,
$60,000.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And of the chains that were there, the one obviously had broken, there were six others that are really close to breaking. And the other ones are, you know, marginal, but still usable. And I just want to put a whole new set in there and start fresh.
Great. Thank you guys.
Thanks,
for
Al.
That.
Okay. The item 8, the budget hearing. So, Steve, did we got to call this hearing and all that?
Correct. So you would open the hearing, take public testimony, and then close the
Can't
hearing.
Can't hear you, Steve.
Sorry. thank you.
Revenge.
From the peanut gallery. Out
there. Yeah.
Correct. You would open the public hearing, take public testimony on the proposed budget, and then at the end close the public testimony, close the public hearing, and then allow staff to go ahead and present, and then the board can take action if so wishes.
Okay.
The item has been noticed in the
2 weeks ahead of time and all that.
2 weeks ahead of time.
Okay. Okay. Very good. I'm going to open the budget hearing right now. And I'd like to take public comments on the budget.
one comment myself.
Okay.
And that we've had it put in the display case out here on the front porch.
Okay.
The requirement we had was during our normal business hours. But we had it out there, so it was 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And we received no inquiries, emails of any sort, one way or the other.
Right. Okay. Okay. Okay, very good. If there are no public comments, I'm going to close the hearing. All right, the hearing's closed. And
can I make a public comment before you close
it? I just closed it, but I guess I can reopen it, can I, or what?
I think you can take public comments.
Okay. Yes, please.
Vicki Reinick. I just wanted to mention, a lot of people didn't know about the budget because the public notice was in an outside newspaper. I think we could have moved it earlier and had run it in the local newspaper. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right. And let's see, where do we go from here, Steve? And we just got to, the board just has to accept the budget or not.
Close the hearing.
Already did.
Yeah.
Already did.
Then we deem the hearing as closed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Is everybody okay with the budget?
And we're on item 9
now. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. Item 9. Discussion of possible action. Thank you, Al.
I want to make a comment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there might be some questions. When the board approved the moving the budget forward, okay, the second page, you have the ending general reserve at $106,000.
Yeah.
That one, basically the board requested that we make two changes, two additions, one adding the sports league and the other adding the
Right, I remember that.
Okay. When I did that, I noticed that with the line that says total expenditures near the bottom didn't change. And so I started looking at the Excel sheet that I've been working off of and realized that the formula that I had in there was slightly different than it should have been. And so when I made that adjustment, we came up with a ending general reserve slightly higher.
Okay.
So it's at $16,256?
The $16,256 is for this year.
That's the beginning.
The annual reserve, if next year it goes right, the budget that you guys just approved for next year, that would be where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. You got any more questions on the budget? How about you, Natalie?
No.
Chuck?
Yeah, the 18-19 I think is good, but I think one thing that needs to be keep putting out there in the universe is the reserve of 16,000 may or may not be the reserve.
Yeah.
That's where we get the...
Yeah, we don't have a true-up yet.
CS-56, yeah. We don't know where those things stand. Right?
I understand right. The election.
That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
The budget itself is fine.
Well, I think it's...
I don't think we can count on that.
I think I should bring something up. That Steve told me today that he was notified by the county that initially they said the election costs were going to be $96,000.
I know.
If you recall.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, they told LAFCO 46. And that's what we used. Then they, I don't know, somehow they came to 96.
I know.
That was a little underestimated. And then they notified Steve that, hey, we'll take 63.
Oh, really? That's big.
That's what they said. Yeah. That's what they said.
Is that where it stands now, or are we still...
That's where it stands right now. That's it. We just got that. That's hot off the press.
63?
Yeah, telephone conversation I had with the county yesterday afternoon.
So I think we should put that 63 in here and try to knock it down, of course, or whatever we can do to knock it down, but I think we should put it in here.
What they also said was that they understood that the district had budgeted 46,000 And so they were willing to work with the district on the remainder between the 46 and the 63.5 that the payment plan would be appropriate or acceptable.
Yeah. And, you know, that's good.
Well, that's my point. If it's 63, that's 16,000 difference. That's our reserve. That wipes it out right.
Well, I mean, if you know, but
except there, for what you've done with the dump carts, that's saving us in this budget.
Yes, but you know, we have the we can also break it up into payments. There's things we could do. We can make a deal with them
right.
if we have to. But I'd like to try to reduce it first. Right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so.
Of course. And if we get into payments, that's something we can add on to this budget that we're going to
yeah.
approve.
But I think
correct?
That 63
right. okay.
is what we know. We should put that in the budget.
Yes.
Okay.
And if it comes
instead
down.
Instead of 46.
And what about the CSA 56? Are we at 28,000 or are we at 60,000 as far as the transfer of funds?
That one I don't know.
And so they did get that in.
Because,
yeah.
you know, the audit that you gave us a couple meetings ago of 56 said they only had the 28,000.
Right.
As far as their
that they were.
There's some funding there that I still need to make the time to go down and take care of.
Right.
Okay.
I was hoping to
that's
do that.
Still, we haven't done a thing on that.
Okay.
I haven't, and I know
right.
Al has.
I just want that on the record that says,
sure.
yes, we're approving this, but
mm-hmm.
these are issues out there that we still got to follow up on. That's all.
Yeah. So, Al, can you update this budget to have, instead of 46, to be 63?
Absolutely. And
okay.
hopefully by the next board meeting, I'll have answers to all the questions.
Okay. So, do we want to accept this budget with the... with the idea that we change that to 63,000 for that one line item. Leo? You okay with that?
Well, Steve, should we change it now or approve this as it stands and then make an adjustment at the next meeting?
Do that too.
Because I don't know what...
I think either approach would be acceptable.
We could do that too.
Okay.
We could do that.
I think we should just approve what we have now and then
okay.
make the adjustment.
Okay.
Next meeting, because otherwise there might be some...
Okay. All right. Can I have a motion to accept the 2018-19 budget?
I would do a motion to accept the 2018-19 budget with the caveat that there are two issues, the election and the transfer of funds from CSA 56 to be determined next meeting or in the future. Off of this budget, yeah.
Okay.
That's my motion.
Okay.
I'll second that.
All right. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion carries. Item 10, 2018-19 apportionment. Discussion of possible action.
Members of the board. Every year around budget time, the board will be adopting its appropriations limit. This sets the limit of the amount of appropriations that that the district can take from your tax money. The amount was set by LAFCO when you were formed, and so you are entitled by law to adjust it based upon population factors. And CPI, which is what you have from staff has done the calculation. So it's, at this point, it is more or less a ministerial act applying the calculation to the number that was set by LAFCO. Moving forward, beginning with your first election, that will be a ballot measure that we will be bringing to your constituents.
So when you say apportionment, I'm sorry, I'm going
to... Apportionment is probably not the right word. It's appropriations limit.
Okay.
Which means...
Can you explain that a little
yeah.
bit?
It's the limit. It's the limit that that as a public agency, you can take from the tax monies with the tax increment that you receive as a result of property tax. So every year you're supposed to set that limit. And that means that you will not be able to use any more tax monies than what the limit is. Typically, that limit, I've never seen a situation in my experience, where a public agency goes beyond that limit. And I don't, certainly wouldn't expect expect you to do as well.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
So, I mean, it's kind
all
of
right.
And that's why it's more or less a ministerial type of
housekeeping.
It's a housekeeping measure. And at this point, you're limited to what was set by LAFCO. And then the population factors that staff has provided. But with your first election, you will there will be more discretion that the board will have on establishing your own limit, and that will be something that you will take to take your constituents. That is also a no-brainer because it's already tax money, and so it's how much.
How much of that
of
chunk?
That, of the tax money
yeah.
that you want to accept. And so a lot of times you'll see a really high number so that money comes into the community.
Right.
But I would not recommend that the number be something outrageous. It has to have some nexus to what your tax increment is. So
and that's 2020?
2020. 2020 you'll be bringing that to as a ballot measure.
Okay, so now we just need a motion to accept it the way it is.
A motion to adopt the resolution.
Okay. Motion to adopt the resolution. Oh, there it is.
So I'll bring up the motion to adopt the resolution 2018-04. This is in regards to the appropriations limit for fiscal 2018-2019.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion carries. Okay. Item 11, WFSC winter traffic meeting fee variance request.
Basically, the Fire State Council, or Fire State Council,
Well, this is the winter traffic meeting, though, right?
Yeah.
So once a year meeting in November,
yeah.
I think? And
yeah.
Do we have a date yet, John?
No.
It's a popular, I mean, the place is packed with,
yeah.
And it's a good meeting because, you know, you have everybody talking together that doesn't normally do that. I mean, Wrightwood gets... It's a really good thing. Wrightwood just gets inundated, as everybody knows, with traffic and snow players and everything else. And having all the agencies coordinate amongst each other is really positive. So
I support it.
So what is the variance? So the variance is, so we'd waive the fee of $54. Is that the gist of it, Al?
Yeah, and the insurance. Have the insurance for this meeting?
Well, the variance request is fee waived community building. Okay, it doesn't specify anything about insurance. But we could probably co-sponsor that.
Yeah, I think what they're really asking is no, $0. Right? Is that right, John?
If I could say one thing about this meeting, I was able to attend, and I know President Zuber was there, and I'm telling you, this room was full with CHP, forestry. There must have been
everybody,
70 yeah. people.
Even LA County.
Okay,
Forest.
50. Even LA County, and it was just awesome to see the you know, everybody getting together to take care of what
LA County
community.
Sheriffs, right? They were here. They were here, which is important.
John Hayes, Wrightwood Fire State Council. As far as insurance goes, Wrightwood Fire State Council does have liability insurance.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
And I certainly have been outspoken as far as the facility fees and making it standard for everybody and that type of thing,
mm-hmm.
unless there is a benefit to the community determined by the board.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, this is a perfect example of something that affects the entire community because the winter traffic affects everybody in the community. There's no doubt about that. And this is something
yeah.
that I think falls under that benefit, you know, of the community. There's some things that maybe it's 40 people or there's other things that it's, you know, a group here. And I, quite frankly, could probably make an argument that every group that, that wants to rent the place has a benefit to the community.
Right.
But this one here is just, to me, is a no-brainer because it does affect everybody in Wrightwood, the traffic.
Okay. Can I have a motion to accept the variance?
I'll do a motion on that.
I'll second it.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion carries. Item 12, WFSC monthly meeting fee variance. Now this is for the Wrightwood Fire Safe Council itself.
Their monthly meetings, I think.
Yes, basically the Wrightwood Fire Safe Council meets monthly. Excuse me, at the old fire station, and they meet for 2 hours once a month.
Mm-hmm.
To read the variance, again, is for fees waived. There is no support material, one way or the other, that accompanies the variance, so I have nothing more than the variance to show to the board.
Any discussion on this, guys?
No, just for information purposes, at these monthly meetings, are the agency reps, the meetings are open to the public, the agency reps, such as Angeles National Forest, San Bernardino National Forest, CAL FIRE, San Bernardino County Fire Department, Code Enforcement. These are meetings where the public can come and be able to ask their questions regarding any of these agencies.
Okay. Thank you, John.
My point of view, again, is it's a benefit to the community. It affects the entire community. And it's basically the communication we have on some serious issues as far as fire up here. And they're the lead agency that is doing it. Yeah, I can see that as a benefit to the community.
Okay, your thoughts, Stanley?
I agree with Chuck. I don't have anything more to say.
Same as the
okay.
San Bernardino.
Okay. Can I have a motion to accept the variance on for the Wrightwood Fire Safe Council?
Accept a monthly variance for the Wrightwood Fire Safe Council.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Okay. Item 13, Snowline Players Variance Request. What we're doing 13, but that's do you have some comments for me?
As far as the Snowline Players, I talked to the president of the she's here, and I talked to Al and Michelle. And
Laura, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Can you just state your name for the record?
My name is Laura Steinman.
Okay.
And I used to be president of the Snowline Players. I mostly work with the children now. Cheryl Buckler is the president, and she's not here tonight. So I think probably you can skip that item because we were going to get together and talk things over with them and with your wife and
okay.
kind of get an understanding. We used to have, with the Snowline Players, an understanding that when we did a play, we got to use the facility for our practices, and we gave you 10% of the gross of the play, or $100, whichever is more.
Right.
So most of the time, that worked out pretty well. But there's some questions about it now, so I think we need to
okay.
skip that item.
Okay.
Okay. And then I would like to speak to item 14.
Let me move down to that, okay?
All right.
All right. We'll skip item 13. And
if I could make a comment, please.
And you,
okay.
Could you pass those out?
Well, not yet.
Everybody? Okay. Can I have one? Sorry.
You can go
ahead. That's not mine.
My comment was that I'm Unfortunately, I don't know what the amount is, but we do have a monthly billing to the Snow Lion Players that would be in place. That is very, I guess, is supposed to circumvent.
Okay, I think we're just going to discuss it at a later time. I think they got to get together and discuss it, and then we'll.
Okay.
And then we'll go over it. I think it's okay.
Okay.
Okay. Item 14. Summer Park and Recreation Cultural Classics, or Classes, I'm sorry, Discussion and Possible Action.
So I'm here to ask you if you would consider making what we do every summer in Parks and Recreation Program. So we have always, in the month of July, I'll just read what I have, you have it. Every Tuesday and Thursday in the month of July, the Snow Lion Players have offered summer enrichment classes for the youth in our community. This year we're scheduling the community building from 12 noon to 4 p.m., and as of this date, we're offering a play for the younger children, a play for the older children, a poetry class, and an art class. In the past, we've offered cooking, we've offered etiquette. It depends what I'm able to put together and get people to commit to. And I have commitments for those classes at this time. Each class meets 1 hour, and the community is invited to see what they have produced at the end of July. It's a perfect program for your parks and recreation for our town. We charge a nominal fee and cover all the costs of labor and materials for the program, and we're just asking that as a park program we can use the community building at no charge. I'll be the responsible person in charge of the program. I will see that the building is open and closed, and I will see that an adult is here at all times to supervise the classes, and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
If I could make a comment.
Okay.
So Laura Simon and I discussed this a couple of weeks ago pretty thoroughly, and I thought it would be a good idea for the Parks and Rec Department of the district to adopt this program. And since she is very in tune to what needs to be done and everything, Laura had graciously offered to be in charge of everything. On a personal note, I think it's a good match. The Snow Lion Junior Players and the CSC doing a program together. And this type of thing is not unusual. Lots of cities do it. I know the Field Pony Hill CSC, they have with the Kiwanis Club a Friday night movie that they do together, and so on and so forth. So it's not something out of the ordinary. It's actually very common.
Okay. All right.
I think it's wonderful. I support it 100%. Thank you for doing that.
I think it's a great opportunity to see the kids and see the results of what they've done during these classes, and I think this will be a great thing for the CSD to sponsor.
I would like to ask the all the directors on the facilities fees that we had passed. What is our criteria as far as willing to either sponsor a program or waive fees? Like I said earlier, I think everybody's got a benefit to the community, and I think everybody, you know, would like to have the ability to waive fees and do that. And quite frankly, do I think this is a positive for the community? Yeah, I do. I flat out do. But I'd love to know where we're going on this. Just go back to the point of, well, we don't have to charge anybody, and we should just allow that to happen. There are certain community or certain organizations in here that have been doing this for, you know, I don't know, 20, 30 years, that type of thing. We found out at the other meeting we have a group that pays full boat and has from the beginning of their, you know, organization as far as using it. I'm not opposed to the kid. I don't want to be the Grinch who stole the thing for the kids. But the reality is we have to make a decision. If that's our decision, fine. But I'd kind of like some clarification on where we're going with this.
Well, I think
maybe that's with the budget strategy and where we're going.
I think these variances, though, and this, you know, what they're asking is this be included into the Parks and Rec, right?
Like
and
a sponsorship.
It's more of a sponsorship, but I think
right.
In general these variances are case by case.
Case by case.
Okay.
And If we think it's if we think it's worth it, I mean, if you know, how much revenue are we avoiding here? Could we, you know, somehow replace that revenue?
For me, it's not really the revenue on
okay.
that aspect
okay.
because you know we're talking minimal on that,
okay.
that thing. I'm talking about a precedent and the
yeah.
idea being that some people get preference, some people don't. And I know we went through hell 3 meetings ago with people that thought the world was going to end because you know they're.
Yeah.
They were getting increased. Now we took back a little bit of that increase, but again, it was still, you know, for if somebody hasn't been paying anything for it or at a major discount, that wasn't pretty good, you know, raise increase. As far as the kids, I'm not opposed to it. I'm opposed to the fact that what's our criteria? Because there's some good programs out there. I mean, we got John coming back after 3 months. To try to address the village trail. And I don't want to get off the thing because we'll be talking about that next month. But those are things that are always going to pop into it is where I'm coming from.
Okay, okay.
But
Laura,
you have a comment?
Yes, if I could just comment on that. I understand 100% what you're saying. And I understand your problem. And when we work with the Snowline Players with the kids, we've tried to do a lot of things here for this building if we can. I mean, for instance, we built that stage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, and I've told Al, if you need cleanup or something, I can get a group of parents here to do it. I don't want to make any problem for you. If you insist that we pay for it, I'll just raise what we charge the kids. But it was my understanding since you started that something for the adults that maybe you wanted a program for the kids. You know, everyone leaves town in June when the kids get out of school, but by July, the parents really appreciate something for their kids. So, you know, it's completely up to you, and I'm not going to go out there crying no matter what you do. But I thought maybe you'd like a program that you could say was for all the children in the right way. So that's what I'm offering.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Thank you. And to add, I'm sorry, Leo. Go ahead. Go ahead.
To add one more thing to Chuck's point of view, the when we took this over, the fee schedule was a mess,
mm-hmm.
all over the board.
Okay.
So this is a great way for us to get it all into the line, and we're going to be introduced to a lot of these different types of adjustments that we have to do. And this is where the board needs to step in and say yes or no. What is there a value to our community on this stuff? But again, back to what the county left us from the full boat to.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little or nothing. So we've made big strides to get where we're at, but now we've made it fine-tune it as we move forward. That's my point.
Hi, Liz. Go ahead.
My question is...
Can you state your name just for the record?
Liz Volfada. My question is there a difference between a program that would be Parks and Rec and would just be a program? Because my understanding is the CSD has taken over Parks and Rec, if I remember correctly, lighting,
that's right.
Parks and Rec,
that's right.
one of the things that has taken over. So it seems to me that if this is a program that would be offered, like you go to Pasadena and they have a big Parks and Rec schedule or something, if this kind of program is being offered as Parks and Rec,
right.
it sort of is in a different group than an organization that's just using the building.
It's a really good point.
I thank you for saying that because I was about to say something along those lines. I see this as a sponsorship because we took over for some Parks and Rec purposes, and this was a Parks and Rec program that they had already had going before the CSD came into fruition, and I think that, you know, this would just be an addition to it, and, you know, they're basically gifting us something that already works, and I feel, you know, that as a Parks and Rec department, we need to grow because before the Parks and Rec department wasn't really anything. It was people just doing things on their own. And, you know, we are a Parks and Rec department, so we should be, you know, growing and taking on new things. And to me, I don't think that's a large amount to waive or sponsor.
Okay.
I agree. It's not a large amount. My point of view just simply was we had an election. We had people that ran on Parks and Rec. We had people that were involved in the budgets that were presented through LAFCO, whatever. And during that time period, There was nothing on Parks and Rec other than the will of some of the candidates wanting to make that a bigger place, and yet there was no money set aside. There was nothing that was in that area. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is it a good program? Yeah, that's fine. And, you know, I'm sure they'll get at least 3 votes tonight, and it'll pass. You know, which is fine.
I'm for it. I don't know what you're saying.
All right.
Leslie Mahalko. I think Laura's program is an excellent program, but if they are getting paid to run the program, I think that there should be some kind of payment to the CSD. Bill, you know, there's maintenance on the building. Usually when a Parks and Rec program is run, you have supplies, you have instructor payment, which obviously is waived from that program.
But I do think it's pretty low, right? It's purposely $10 a person to allow, you know, for everybody to try to participate in
supplies.
It. It's $10, and so they only come up with $400. Right?
Well, usually it's about all we charge for each child to have the program. Whatever will cover the cost of the teacher that we have in the materials, that's how we do it. And there's no cost to the community. And we did have Parks and Recreation College with money before. It's never used for Parks and Recreation.
So you're not allocating any money for the program. It's all going to come out of...
That's right.
We're offering the building.
You're offering the building.
Right.
And you pay for the supplies.
All the for the time in the building. Everything else you pay for.
And they're offering to clean and all that.
And in the 18-19 budget, there is a line item now for Parks and Rec, both revenue and expenses.
Thank you, though.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I think we could have a vote here. So, can I have a motion to for Summer Park and Recreation cultural classes to become part of Parks and Rec that the CSD would sponsor?
I'll make a motion to accept the Summer Park and Recreation cultural classes to be added to the Wrightwood Community Services District Parks and Rec program.
And I second that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
All right. The motion carries 3-1.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have staff up there. If you want an agency report.
Oh, okay.
Do that with him.
Yeah, can we? I'm sorry. Could I skip back and go to the agency report? We already went through that, but could you go ahead with that? I'm sorry.
Get him out of here.
I didn't mean to make you wait there.
Toby Fox with the Sheriff's Office. So I just wanted to go off the monthly stats for the town of Wrightwood. Started May 1st, 2018 to May 31st, 2018. We had a total calls for service 123. With 12 reports, 3 top calls were follow-ups, which could be anything from somebody calling in and wanting to follow up on the case, or deputies creating that call for service.
This is for the month of May?
For the month of May, correct.
Okay.
We had a total of 10 audibles, audible alarms, house alarms, and 7 home check calls. That could include probation.
It's something that kind of confused me a little bit. I mean, I always hear these agency reports and they say, you know, it's almost like nothing happened. But, you know, I'm on the Wrightwood Gallup forum and I see, hey, a burglary occurred at this place. Hey, a break-in occurred at this other place. How come that's not in your report?
No, it is. I'm just going over the top 3 calls for service, the most calls for service that we have for that month.
I don't understand what the purpose is of that. I mean, we kind of want to know what the crime statistics are, right?
Okay. So we have, let's go down here. My first time dealing with this.
Okay. Okay.
Tough group.
Okay. Criminal reports wise, we had 4 burglaries in the month of May.
Okay. There you go.
We have 1 vandalism. Hmm. We have 1 domestic. We towed a car from up here.
Mm-hmm.
We arrested somebody for possession of stolen property.
Mm.
and somebody for drunk in public. And we had a tip suicide call, and we have one theft call.
Okay.
Those are the primary.
Okay, thank you. I think that's what we'd like in the future, something.
Oh, sure.
Something like that, because we don't—I don't quite understand those other stats.
Okay. So we'll just for the future, we'll just do the crime statistics.
Yeah. Okay. Is that okay with you guys?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You guys have any questions?
I have a question. I think it was about 2 weeks ago when school was still in session, and there was a bunch of police and police dogs between the bank and the elementary school. And I was wondering if you guys were conducting like training or if you know about that. There was
quite a few units throughout
Samuel
County. They actually conduct a training up here with the dogs.
Okay.
So they'll have their trainers. If one dog's going through training, they'll have a couple of trainers put out scent over anywhere from a quarter mile to a mile. And then the dog you're training will have to track that scent.
Okay.
Wherever they put that scent. So that's what was going on.
Okay, great.
About a week or two ago.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, no, they come up here to this little cooler up here for the dog and for the guys setting up the scenarios for the dog so that way the dogs can practice tracking the different types of scents that they're putting out for the dog.
A lot of parents were scared, though, because they thought there was a
huge
going on.
Oh, no. Yeah, just training. Yeah, they'll go up to Big Bear. They'll have training up at Big Bear. Once a little cooler, they'll go down to Glen Helen, train the dogs down there. Those dogs get trained all over the United States. We have one dog in particular. It's a multi-purpose dog. She is a cadaver dog as well as a search dog.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So those guys have to train. You have to put a minimum of 10 hours a week per week for the dog.
Mm. That's quite a bit.
Yeah. And then anywhere from, my understanding, they probably do a couple hundred hours a year. Additional training throughout the United States to keep those dogs certified.
I want to say one thing. A couple weeks ago, right at the end of school, the bomb squad or the big trucks went over there to the elementary school and did a. The kids were climbing all over the vehicles, and I just want to thank you guys for doing that. They. San Bernardino. I mean,
well, thank you. Anyway.
They were there with their big tank car and. Anyways, all the kids were crawling around it, and they came over. It was two or three vehicles, so I just want to thank you for the San Bernardino account and the captain.
I'll find out who it is.
Yeah, they did a great job.
Yeah.
All right, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, item 15, WCSD baseball field lighting, discussion of possible action.
So about 6 months ago, I had a resident come up to me and say, hey, I'd like to donate and put lights up on the Little League field up here at Wrightwood Elementary. So the discussion, it was 6 months ago, and about 3 months ago, he came up to me again and I followed up and we had a lengthy meeting. And then shortly after that meeting, I went to talk to John Gardner. That was about 3 weeks ago.
Three, four
weeks ago. I spent a half hour with him, and he was going to take that to the snow line. In the meantime, I came here and talked to Al about the situation. A positive thing for our community to have some lights up here on the Little League field. So John took it forward and met with the risk management. The gentleman's name is Robert Callahan.
Chacon.
Okay. So I talked to him twice, two separate meetings, and then so at the end of the day, about a week ago, last Tuesday, he came and called me up and said, okay, we walked the grounds, the electrical won't be a problem, this is a great place to put it, and I said, great, that the sponsorship is still sitting out there waiting to act upon it. He goes, but I've got some bad news. He goes, we could erect all the lights. You guys could pay for all the lights. But there's $200,000 to $400,000 of an ADA improvements that have to be done when you do a project. So he gave me two examples. One example is they're trying to get a digital light board over there at the Serrano High School. Take the old one out, put a new one up. He says it's cost $7,000. But to do that, we've got to do all these other improvements. That's $45,000 now. He said that here at Coel, junior high, or middle school, we just replaced the light, a window at that school. But there was a ramp that was off of 0.5% for handicap. So that one window turned into $65,000.
But I don't understand. How are these things linked to the ADA? How is that linked?
What happens is you got to go, this has got to be presented to the school architects up in Sacramento.
Okay.
And that's one of their things is anything that's got to be done.
So they kind of hold you hostage and say, we'd like these other things.
And because the school is so old, and all these, the whole front sidewalk, mm-hmm. everything's got to be, he says, Leo, we're into this $200,000 to $400,000 just to put four or five lights up. And there's just 10 lights, four poles. And it's going to cost $200,000 to $400,000. So when I heard that, I was very disappointed. And I did talk to the sponsor, and he was very disappointed as well. But Robert was going to go back and...
There's no way to request a waiver or something? Is there a formula that they use, or is it just...
It's black and white.
Ad hoc?
Policy.
Nope. That's it.
But if it's a permit,
I don't know.
That's it. Okay. That's the state of California.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at.
Okay.
If I get some more news in the next month or something from Robert, we'll see.
Yeah,
what
I'd
happens.
Like to. I'd like to hear more about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's where we're at.
Okay. Thank you, Leo.
Okay.
Thank
news.
You. That would have been wonderful.
I know.
Okay, item 16, WCSD, Park Rules and Regulations, Discussion of Possible Action.
Uh-oh.
Did I say Jane Doe?
Nope.
Leslie Mahalko, I was reading over this and I have a few questions. Why is the park closing at 6 p.m. on 8102.01? Usually parks are open dawn to dusk, pardon me. Also, it states here that the facilities for the restroom facilities are available during normal park hours, which is good, except for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Does that mean you guys are going to open or close? And what about Halloween? Because there were big issues last year with none of the community facilities being open and hundreds of people coming up to enjoy Halloween and our shop-at-home weekend. So I was hoping for a little more clarification on that. Then on 8102.02 with the 5 miles per hour in park areas, isn't our one park area off of the street and our other teeny little park off of a parking lot? So I was confused about that. And then I just have to say, this was copied verbatim from the feeling thing, and I wish,
right.
We're not feeling, and I wish just a little bit more time would have been taken to make it more specific to Wrightwood, because, this is verbatim with a couple little changes, all with copy and paste. And I think it was a disservice to the residents.
I think it saved us a lot of money.
Pardon me?
I think it saved us a lot of money.
To copy and paste?
Yeah. Yeah. But okay. All right, thank you.
All my different opinions on this. I have a spot. I think now it does say dawn to dusk, because there were some young teenagers out there, and they were talking, and they said, is the park closed now? It's bright daylight. Is this dusk? And I went up and explained what dusk was, because it's not a common word. Most kids don't really know what it is. And I said, that's kind of when the sun starts going down and it's not really quite dark and it's not really quite light. So they were like, oh, okay. So right now it does say the park is open, John.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, with all that said, yes, I took it from Freedom and Pinion Hills CSD because it's a very written, well-written and thorough rules and regulations. Currently, we really don't have a policy other than what we adopted from the county.
What does the county say for the hours of operation? What do we have before?
The county.
Was it Dawn to Dusk?
The county was Dawn to Dusk.
Okay.
As you well know, I've changed it to 6 o'clock for the restrooms. I'd like to change it to 6 o'clock for the park.
Now, is the reason that it's 6 p.m. Because that's when staff can then lock up the restrooms? Is that the reason for that? Or
it has a lot to do with the fact that we are a part-time staff. Also that a lot of the vandalism and other things that happen in our parks happen in the later hours. And so this is something that we've discussed before. And
I don't understand that part. If vandalism happens, how would closing it ahead of time or how? I don't quite understand that. What would we close or just people
well,
can still?
Itself, there's not a whole lot to open or close.
Right.
Okay. The restrooms, the bathrooms, there's a whole lot to be involved.
So if you're saying there'd be less vandalism in the bathrooms, perhaps or
correct.
Okay.
And perhaps with some of the other. I mean, obviously, we don't have park police. If somebody comes here and uses the park after 6 o'clock, they're not going to get arrested.
So it seems like the restrooms really take front and center on these hours.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's a lot of programs that go past 6 o'clock all year round, like practices for teams and whatnot, and the parks are always open, even Little League to last weekend was people were there until like 8 o'clock at night. So I understand like the bathrooms having to be closed at a certain time, but I don't see how we can close the park to the people who are there while their families are practicing and stuff.
So. Well, it's purely a suggestion on everything that you see here. That's why it's brought to the board.
Okay.
I just take draft written all over this, but basically this is the first read. And so, you know, suggestion if you want to keep the restrooms the way they are, closing at 6, which when I do the Dawn to Dusk language, we can obviously modify that. It's, you know, this is the first read, as I've mentioned before.
Yeah, okay. I think I would like to see that. Like, I think it should be Dawn to Dusk, but if the bathrooms are closed at a separate time, that's okay, but I think the park has got to be open Dawn to Dusk.
And the issue with the 5 mile per hour, I mean, obviously that does not pertain to
streets, right? I mean, that's overridden by
county
controlled streets.
It deals with our parking lot.
Yeah,
right out here.
Right.
Did you have a comment? Yeah. It sounds like you guys are in for it. My name is Monica Cicarelli. I was just going to try to really push for the Dawn to Dusk for the park. If you put 6 o'clock, then there is a way to enforce it if the law enforcement does happen to drive by. And that's not really cool because during the summers, the lights out until 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That would just be quite awful for my husband on days that I work when he takes the kids to the park.
Okay.
After dinner.
All right. Thanks, Monica.
Thank you.
Okay. So hang on. Just hang on one second here. So we got that. So you're going to adjust that language in the top of that. And
what about the Christmas and Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Well, basically, that's two holidays out of a year, out of 365 days that maybe staff can have off.
But I would like to see the Halloween thing extended to. I would like to see that as part of the, you know, I would like to see the restrooms open later for Halloween.
And you're,
I mean, if we had to pay staff a little bit more to get that done, I think we should.
Well, the situation with the Christmas lights, the situation with Halloween,
mm-hmm.
Okay, let's put it in perspective. Okay, with the Christmas lights, the chamber and the CSD talked about that.
Yeah.
We came up with an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
To extend the hours because of the shop at home.
Mm-hmm.
That type of thing. The Halloween, there was no agreement at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
The restaurants did get closed a little bit after 6 p.m. I know for a fact because I'm the one that closed them. Okay. There were some people who said that the event went on to 7. Well,
yeah,
I
think
no
it does.
Idea if Right. The event went on to 7, or if the event went on to 8.
Yeah, I know. I think we did discuss that. It wasn't the organizers of that event or did not tell us.
Apparently, there are no organizers
to
that event.
Right.
And earlier this year, or actually last year, around that time, in November, I believe it was the November board meeting, we had the discussion that the restaurants would be closed around 7 o'clock. Perhaps we've forgotten that, but that discussion has already been had.
Okay.
Now, Al, on the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays, if it snows, those are our busiest times up here. So we need to revisit that. Thanksgiving,
you
Christmas.
Just scratch them out. This is for the board to review. If you want to have employees work on Christmas and Thanksgiving, that's absolutely fine as well. We have in the lab.
Mm-hmm.
Rich.
Okay, Liz?
I just wanted to point out that in the rules above the list, you talk about no glass beverages, but it's not in the list. And if anyone was going to get harassed or stopped or something because of having Coke in a glass bottle, I think it should be in the list ahead of time as opposed to not in the list.
Okay, thank you. I think I've gone over this carefully enough.
No, either have I.
So why don't we?
I think we have to push this off, and I think the board has to review this and send their comments to Al. And so then.
Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
Some of your comments, we already have some of the comments and modifications that we can make.
Yeah.
But please put in the next.
I don't think doing this in real time is a good idea.
If you can, please put in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Comments, because by the time I start working on the next board packet, it's very, very difficult when it comes to time.
Can you take that one note though that Liz pointed out on the list? Okay.
That's not a problem.
Okay. All right. Item 17. So no action on item 16. Item 17: Community Facility Rental Guideline Adjustment.
The board approved the rates at the last board meeting. They also approved the rental facility agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, a couple of things came up that I'm asking to have make an adjustment on.
Okay.
One of them happened to be on the board rental response acknowledgement on the very first page here. I'd like to put another bullet point down there that unpaid monthly bills that exceed 90 days will result in the facility use being stopped until payment is made.
I think that's way too generous.
Way too generous.
Way too generous.
Okay.
Seriously, like it should be like 30 days.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
you have to keep up because it's too much.
6 months out?
We have one organization that's 6 months out there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's no good.
Excuse me, I'd like to make a statement on that.
Can you come to the mic?
45 days.
Vicki Riley. That particular one, we didn't get a statement or a bill until just a few weeks ago. And it represented 6 months worth of rent because we were waiting.
Oh, which organization was this?
This was the Lions Club.
Oh, the Lions Club.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
We would pay if we got the bill. That's the bottom line.
Okay. All right. So you didn't know you owed it?
Well, just like any other organization, everybody's been getting billed, and all the buildings have been sent out. I know that I didn't personally, but Michelle personally paid that bill 2 months ago.
Okay.
So anyway, if you want to back this off to 30 days.
I think it ought to be 30 days. That's my vote. What do you guys think?
I'm not going to go one way or another. That's fine.
Do you owe or something?
No, I don't owe. I have a remedy.
Okay.
Well, I'm, I would make a suggestion. Perhaps 60. And the reason why is because of vacation times or other conflicts that may happen. Most organizations are very, very quick to respond and take their feet.
Yeah.
For me, there's a notice at 30, and then it kicks in as far as not being able to use it after 60.
I agree.
Would be my point.
Okay, let's change it to 60, okay?
Okay, we'll change that to 60. Then on the next page...
And part of that would be the notice at 30.
30.
So they know it should be a notice at 30.
Yeah. All right.
And then on the next page in blue, at the top...
Okay.
In black it says, please read each item and initial next to it, showing that you understand. What I'd like to add to that would be, if you do not understand, please talk to staff or the general manager. Refusal to initial will affect approval of your application. We have, again, an organization that's refusing to initial the cancellation part of the policy because...
And they can't do it then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of a very sticky issue.
Okay.
It's actually more than one organization that do the last minute type thing. But there's only one that's right currently.
I think it should be stronger though. When it says refuses to initial effect, I think it should be in order for this application to be accepted, you must initial it.
Okay.
That's it.
And then the other part was actually brought up by Ron Frank with the Farmers Market.
Uh-huh.
He asked about the parking lot or the facility, that if we have heavy inclement weather, such as snow.
That makes sense.
Or whatever.
That's a good idea.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So I thought it was...
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good.
And then we'll go forward with these adjustments.
Okay.
I think to Wes's point, make that a little stronger.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, Liz will spot my teacher kicking in here. You have two different things. On one page, you have cancellation is 15 days. And on the next page, you have it's 10 days. So you can decide which one it is. If you look at the first page, on the first page it says cancellation must be submitted in writing 15 days prior to event to receive full refund of deposit. But then if you go down to the other page where it talks about cancellation, it says that 10 to 29 days you list 30%.
I think you should just remove this thing on the first page because it's this policy that is
okay.
The. I think you should just remove that. Yeah. Thank you, Liz. We need a teacher here in the audience.
Thank God.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Al? Okay, Steve, do we need a motion to really accept this, or it's just administrative, right?
I think a motion would be appropriate.
Okay. Can I have a motion to accept the rental agreement?
Adjustments.
I'll put the motion in with what we talked about as far as the changes, yes.
Yeah.
To accept it, yes.
Yeah.
I second it.
Okay, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion carries. Okay, item 18, director's comments.
I got one.
I think Natalie had one.
Oh, go for it.
I just wanted to give an update on the softball league, and we're the first game is this Sunday, June 10th. We're going to be having an opening ceremony at 11:45 a.m. at the Wrightwood Elementary Little League field,
And we'll be having Sydney Rasmussen, she's a local softball star, throw the first pitch, and we'll be singing the national anthem and having a flag and all of that. And our game schedules for Sundays are 12:15 will be the time the first teams start, and they will wrap up at 7:30. So we had 12 teams, so we had to run six games at the same time. And they are doing a reseeding of the upper field at Rybut Elementary this summer, so it's going to be completely closed. So we have to run all of our games, you know, back to back. So we're very happy with the turnout, and you know, each team was probably 15 to 20 people, so we really had an amazing turnout. And Al and staff has been working with us to keep the bathrooms open longer, so they're going to be closed at 7:30 at the conclusion of the last game. And I'll post the schedule, so if anyone from the community would like to come and watch, it should be pretty fun and exciting.
Where will that be posted?
I can put that on the Facebook, and then I can probably put it outside the doors. And
all right. And an administration question, the fees that they're doing for registration,
mm-hmm.
on that, do the captains take care of that money, and who eventually does the accounting on it?
So we had a team captains meeting last night here at the community building, and we collected 10 out of the 12 teams' payments. They pay by check, and the other two will be paying on Sunday before they step foot on the field. They all had to fill out liability waivers. They got a team captain packet with all the materials, so that is all due on Sunday to us.
Man, that's
Monica
awesome.
And I will be there all day.
That's great.
Monitoring
that's
it.
That's really great.
My question was just simply, who holds the money?
Oh,
the captain?
I've actually turned it over to Al.
Oh, get
to
a signature. Get a signature.
Okay.
Get
I have
money.
Okay. And I have photocopies of all the checks.
Okay.
Monica, did you want to say something?
I was kidding. Somebody just kind of asked a question in the crowd. And so we are paying an umpire to each game. So some of the money goes to that, and then and then there was a small setup fee for some of the equipment. The Rightwood Little League was amazing and donated some of their old bases as well as some pitcher's mounds. And other than that, the rest of it we kind of purchased and tried to keep the cost low. So the CSC does bring in some money, but it
doesn't stay for future softball teams, or does it get just in the general CSC budget?
Goes in the general CSC budget.
Parks budget.
Yeah, that was the deal from the beginning. Thanks, Monica.
Thank you, Monica, for all your work. Monica has done so much, so I think we owe her a round of
applause. Yeah.
And then I just wanted to thank Al, because the employee on Sunday is going to be setting up the field in the morning before the first game, and then helping break it down and lock everything up and run.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
That's great, Ron.
Yeah. Ron agreed to kind of change his hours instead of coming at 6, coming at 7:30.
That's really generous. That's good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That is.
Thank you all for working with us on that.
Okay. Any other director's comments?
Yeah, I'd like to propose a resolution.
Don't be laughing at me.
On the resolutions that I've gotten, you know, you have Wes as president of the board signing off on it, and then it's got A's and A's type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's no breakdown as far as was it 3-0 vote, was it a 3-1 vote, was it a 5-0 vote, and there's no names as far as
there's no names next to it? I don't know that matters.
Well, there's no names next to it, but there's also no numbers in the sense of how many people voted yes or no. Was it a 5-0?
I think it does have that on there, right?
Yeah. Some resolutions I saw did.
Oh, I see. So some do and some don't.
I guess. I don't know. But I'd like to do a resolution that basically says that should be
a resolution from today. Well,
we can just.
Corporations limit resolution has.
Yeah.
Has eyes and nose broken down.
Yeah. We can make sure make sure that happens administratively.
Okay.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking.
Okay. All right.
The copies I got of, it doesn't show anything.
Those are the early days.
The early days, yeah. Yeah.
And the parks resolution has the same thing. Eyes, nose, abstain, absent.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the ones that I've seen have that block in there.
Okay. Yeah.
I think you're just seeing the draft, you know. So
maybe that's
Michelle, you finalize that, those documents up and put the
album,
the A's and A's, right? So I think that's what we're seeing that.
Yeah, we'll make sure.
A couple things I have. Little League's over with. All-Stars start. We've got an unbelievable 12-year-old team ready to kick off. So that's going to start, I think it's next weekend. The schedule isn't out yet. But if you guys get a chance to see the 12-year-olds, I'm telling you, they're unbelievable this year. They're 13-2 this year.
Wow.
So really good.
Awesome.
Looking forward to the softball matches. I know the Grizzly is sponsoring one of the teams.
They did. Ooh. The locals.
The locals.
The locals is what they're called?
They're called the locals.
That's really good.
I think it's turning into some... I think it's funny socks and all sorts of things are starting to gonna come out on this softball league. It's pretty.
Okay.
It's a fashion thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's gonna be fun to watch. So I encourage everybody to come out and take a look.
Okay. Thank you, Leo. All right. Future board meetings and agenda items.
Well, we can bring back the park rules and regulations.
Right.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else to bring back. I don't think
there was one.
Isn't
there a couple that
we
put on?
Oh, yes, and I hope
I think we skipped item 13.
In the snow lane plan.
Yeah, so I think you should wait to hear from them first, then put it on. Okay? You know, once they discuss it.
We've been trying, and I'm sure that hopefully before the next board meeting that we have a meeting.
I think it's up to them. I think Cheryl's got to approach you, and we will put it on there. Okay.
And we also wanted the actuals for the budget.
Right.
And then
let me just kind of give a quick little update on something. We are actually using QuickBooks now.
Okay.
And like I said, our bookkeeper, she sent me the information, but it was like late today. But we'll be getting that now that we've had it all formulated. I think there might be some. I probably want to have you look at it with me and then see if it needs just a little bit more fine tuning, but I think it'll be fine.
Okay.
We got to put the Village Trail on next to John.
Right.
Okay, future board meeting. When would that be?
July 3rd.
July 3rd?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a Tuesday. What's that?
You want to change that or you want to do that? The day before a holiday.
I'd prefer to change it. July 3rd. That sounds.
You want to make it July 4th?
Are we?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to change it?
Yes,
we change it whatever we want. I mean, if you guys agree, I would like to change it to, you know, after
July 5th.
Hi, Neil Schofield, Ben Crawford, July 10th. We are not meeting here. We meet at the Country Club.
Okay.
The calendar is clear for that night.
Okay, thank you, Lynn.
Okay.
Thank you,
Lynn.
Thank you.
July 10th.
July 10th, okay?
I'm okay with moving it to July.
Are you okay with that? Because, I mean, people take a long weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. You okay with that, Steve?
July 10th.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. You need to post that notice of cancellation of the July 3rd meeting, and then the July 10th meeting will be a special meeting.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got you. You okay with that, Al? Okay. All right. Item 20, communications.
Correspondence.
I have the three flyers in
here. Oh, okay. Yeah, from Pine Needles.
One is about the Summer Softball League. It's just a reminder that it's starting this coming weekend. Obviously, you can't sign up anymore again.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're in the midst of doing the green waste recycling days.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that Director Franklin and myself have volunteered on some of the days. And,
oh, very good.
And I want to thank Director Franklin for that. It also helps show a presence about the Fire State Council and the CSC. Working together on this particular project.
Yeah, that's good.
And then last but not least, we have Mountaineer Days. The Chamber gave us a flyer, so I threw it in here. Perfect.
All right.
Yeah.
So one more. Are we, we're ready to help support these, this event on July 7th and 8th? Do we have to do anything or on July 7th and 8th? Because we're going to have the board meeting after that.
I don't think there's anything actually to be done.
Okay. So bathrooms and porta potties and all that stuff has been discussed with the chamber office.
The chamber knows what they need.
Okay.
Oh, very good.
I think there was an issue with the liquor license last time. I recall how quickly we had to move on that.
I think that was with the car show.
No, that was with Mountaineer Day.
Was it?
It was because of the transition, because they had to apply for it. And,
yeah.
And it was CSA 56.
They've already applied for it, and I already signed the...
Oh, very good.
That
very good. You're on top of it. Very good. Okay. If there's nothing else from any directors, meeting adjourned.